Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
What's up, everybody? Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Day four of training camp in the books today, second day in pads, and I gotta tell you, this day was dominated by the defense. Three interceptions, multiple sacks. Really, the best plays the offense had today were the result of pass interference penalty flags. They couldn't generate much with the first or the second team against this defense that really had to put a smile on head coach Mike Pettine's face. We know defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill was fired up as they went out there today and really kind of handed it to the offense. And it's going to be very interesting to see how the offense responds come Thursday when they get to put the pads on once again.
Well, it was so interesting to see the way this thing worked out, because the defense owned this practice in so many ways, as you talked about, not just the turnovers, but just the line of scrimmage. The battle at the line was won by that front seven consistently, and the physical nature, of course, the pads were on for the second day, so obviously the physical tone was there, and it was interesting because I think the way the defense dictated that tempo and dictated that sense of dominance, there was some backlash, of course, from the offensive side as well. The offense had to sort of say, okay, we don't like getting pushed around. And at one point, Ben Tate took a football and threw it at a defender. And that started the biggest fracas yet of training camp.
I was going to say a whole team fracas.
25 guys I counted, I think.
Yeah, that was a legit, that was almost riotous.
And look, here's the thing. Mike Pettine walks this fine line. He wants the edginess. He wants the in-your-face. He wants his team to exude toughness on both sides. And I'll tell you what, he may not admit this. He may not have gone on and said this to he certainly didn't say it to reporters in his post-practice news conference. But I don't think he was all that upset that Ben Tate threw that football. I mean, he doesn't want him doing that during a game, drawing a 15-yarder. But I think he kind of, in his own way, liked the idea that a guy from the offense stood up for himself at a time when it was getting the group manhandled.
Ben Tate is a little rough around the edges in some ways, and Ben Tate is not going to take crap from anybody. I think that he has made, if there's one thing you can know for sure about his personality in the limited time that he's been here, I think, Vic, it's safe to say it is that. Ben Tate will back down from no man. Ben Tate will take on all comers, and Ben Tate will have complete belief in his ability to get the job done when it comes. Now, this isn't the first time Ben Tate's thrown the football at a defensive player.
In
OTAs, he chucked one right at Phil Taylor. Today he did it at Ataba Rubin, and a fracas ensued once again. But, ultimately, for this team to go where we all want it to go, the defense is going to have to be tough. It's going to have an attitude and swagger. Forced turnovers, which it did three of them today. But the offense is going to have to be able to run the football. And ultimately, when you break down what running the football in the NFL means, it means imposing your will on somebody else, out-toughing them, and just getting it done. And I think for all the talk about Terrence West, and I think Terrence West can do that too, Ben Tate is ready to go to battle. Is ready to go to battle and get physical and do what he has to do for this team. And he showed that today. There's a part of his attitude that, you know, depending on the prism or the lens with which you are viewing it, could be off-putting. But ultimately, when you know that he is a football player and his job is to go out there and play a physical, violent game, I like the chip on his shoulder and the swagger he has.
Yeah, he exudes that sense of, and I don't know what the word is. I want to say it's the word is toughness. I was going to say safe word. There's not really a safe word here, but he exudes, I think, a sense of he leads with his chin. He's ready to scrap. I mean, you either by the look or what you say or whatever it might be, I think he's that kind of guy who carries himself in a way that he's on the edge. He is ready to battle, and that's a good thing, because on the football field, that does translate to giving it back, because the defense, what is its ultimate goal? Not only to stop you, but to discourage you from even trying to make progress. You talk about hits over the middle on receivers. You talk about, again, hits at the line of scrimmage. And what he was getting tired of, and I know every back who's carried the ball in this camp has to get used to, because it's different, there is a mantra that the defense has: rake it out, get that football out of the hands of anybody who has it in his hands, whether it's a runner or a receiver. So if you notice down the field, defenders, every defender, even, again, these are drills where you're not tackling to the ground, but defenders in any contact with the ball carrier, they're trying to yank the ball out and reminding that ball carrier, hey, keep it secure until that play is completely over. And sometimes it could be 15, 20 yards down the field, even though everybody else is retreating back to the line of scrimmage. So that,
guys,
that
who aren't
tiresome
even, guys who aren't even in the play right. will be on the sideline for the defense trying to rip the ball
yes.
out if somebody's going up the sideline.
Yeah, yeah.
Billy Winn loves to do that. He does it all the time. And, yes, it
wears
on him with no helmet on. Yes, I'd like to see him on the field ripping the ball out, and hopefully we will soon. Buck Wild Billy Winn, friend of the show. But, yeah, that's what the defense does. I'm sure it gets a little bit annoying. And again, you got to like the fact that, you know what, when you know that Ben Tate's in the game, you know that he's not going to be soft. You never have to worry about him being soft or not competing because, as you said, I love the way you said it, he leads with his chin, and he has total belief in his abilities to do what he needs to do on the football field to be successful. And by the way, folks, this is a guy who's ninth in the NFL over the last 4 years, averaging 4.7 yards per carry. There's a reason that he believes in himself. He has been a very effective running back when given the chance. He's just been behind Arian Foster prior to this journey to Cleveland.
And what you said about imposing your will, that can be done even in a scheme that doesn't necessarily replicate what you see, say, from San Francisco. Big mahonker offensive lineman with a straight push, power push to get the running game going. This is, again, lateral movement, this outside zone type of scheme. But it doesn't mean it's finesse to the point of no physicality. You are still trying to impose your will. If you're running the football, and remember, running backs, this the way the line opens up these holes going sideways and looking, creating seams, trying to take the defense where it wants to go is really the phrase that's used here, and then running backs cutting back to it. But still, it's a lot of physicality when the running back explodes through that hole, hopefully, and then is able to make yards, and he's dealing with contact up the field. And if you're doing this successfully, repeatedly, gaining yards on the ground, that is the definition of imposing your will on the other team and trying to break the will of the opponent.
That's right, and this is a team that's going to have to be physical. We know the one of the other big Ohio business machines' hot topics of the day kind of ties into why this running game has to be so effective, and that is that Josh Gordon's appeal comes due Friday. And Josh Gordon, there's no practice tomorrow. He's traveling to New York. Unclear if he will be able to practice Thursday. So there's very good chance that this was his last practice for a very long time with the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed and hope that it isn't, but that's the thing. And now one thing Josh Gordon did do is that he has brought in a new attorney. He has hired attorney Maurice Sue, who helped Seattle Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman win his appeal of a contested positive test. A league source has said Sue will work alongside NFLPA attorney Heather McPhee, who's got a good reputation, trying to salvage as much of this season for Josh Gordon as possible. So when you hire an attorney like Maurice Sue, in my mind, that's not a cheap investment. And you must feel like you have something to hang your hat on, and you want the best in the world to kind of take maybe that little sliver of hope you have and widen it up and make that appeal for Friday.
Yeah, no problem with that, by the way. Hire the best if you can. If you can afford the best, help yourself as much as you possibly can. Defend yourself, whatever these circumstances are. And we don't know them. We know a lot of speculation. We don't know all the details, really, about what is going on here and what case he has or doesn't have. But if he's making that investment in the attorney, that would seem like the wise thing to do here to make sure at least you're properly, whatever the word is, defended, I guess, under these circumstances to see where this appeal might go. But as you said, I'm not leaning in a positive direction on this thing. I feared, as you did today, as we were watching Josh Gordon, I think we were thinking the same thought that, hey, this might be it for a while with the day off tomorrow. And then he travels to New York and the hearing comes up, and I guess we'll finally get that answer. But it's a huge answer. And honestly, when we find out one way or the other, I think from that point forward, you sort of have a turning point of this training camp, of this whole preseason, because you're going to know a lot about how this team then can prepare with or without a player who makes a difference I think in your overall win total, possibly to the tune of three games, 2 to 3 games. I think he means that much. When you could talk about a player meaning multiple victories to your team or games that you may not see as wins when you take him out of it, because it's a different football team with him, obviously, than without him. Even if this is a run-oriented team, he's your best player, your best playmaker. And any conversation about the Browns' outlook in 2014 begins and ends with, what is the status of Josh Gordon?
Right, because even if you are a run-oriented team, he helps the run game. He keeps them out of the way. It is impressive, you know, what he can do, how he alters the way a defense must approach this offense. It's going to be tough without him. And I've been very pleased, by the way, with what we have seen, obviously, for Miles Austin. He had, again, had another solid day of practice for considering where the bar was for the offense today, because They got beaten up. It was a tough day for the offense overall. A guy, Justin Gilbert, I want to make sure we highlight him here. I think he's an Ohio business machine, hot topic all by himself.
Oh, yeah.
The light bulb has gone on.
His best day of practice, not only in making the pick that he did and the tremendous athleticism he showed on that, just his overall coverage, Nathan. We see it. The way he is covering people, the way he is mirroring people down the field, the way he is altering his movement and keeping an eye, you know, kind of like one eye on the quarterback, one eye on the receiver, and ready to make the play. He's not satisfied with just discouraging the pass. He's looking to get the ball in his hands and then starting at the line of scrimmage. And I attribute this to having pads on, because I think he feels now a license to be more physical. He feels he has that license at the line. He talked about this yesterday, rerouting people. This is what he was drafted for, and it really is hard to do that and show that without pads. He's showing it now in the pads.
Oh, no question. The last 2 days have been his best days of practice, not even close, and he improved on what I thought was a very good day yesterday. Today, interception 11-on-11, drilled a point where there was a challenge thrown down by Mike Pettine. Five plays, the offense had to go 20 yards. If they could get there, they did it. If not, the defense won D1 three out of those four, including both first-team reps. Justin Gilbert ended one of those series with an interception. So I thought he's come a long way, and you're right. The physicality he talks about, he loves to be physical. This is not a Deion Sanders cornerback who's here to cover and not engage in any physicality at all. He enjoys being physical, and I think Justin Gilbert, the strides he's making have been excellent. Another guy who was a standout to me in the OTAs and the mini camps, who kind of has gotten better the last 2 days. Some of these defenders are even better with pads on, and that is great to see, is Jordan Poyer today. Right, he is. There's something to be said for someone who, and he was humble about it afterwards. I asked him about his interception today. You know, I was in the right place at the right time. There's something to be said for a guy who is continually in the right place at the right time. Very instinctual, provides some safety depth. And I love the defense alignment we saw today that had Gilbert, Hayden, and Screen at corner. Plus, you had Whitner, Gibson, and Poyer kind of roaming, and Poyer made his interception out of that formation.
And the other thing you notice about the guy is he's doing some of his best coverage work against Jordan Cameron. He's doing it against one of the best tight ends in the league, certainly the as good a talent as any on this team that he's going to cover on a regular basis. And it just seems like Jordan Cameron struggles the most to get separation from him. We talked about that today, and that is something that shows up on tape as well. Very impressive to watch him. And yet another guy, a kudo I'll throw out to a rookie, is Pierre Desir. Watching him, I think, take another step in stride. He was very far behind in OTAs. The conversation was, wow, this guy's got a long way to go. He has made the most out of whatever time he had to study or whatever time he spent kind of studying, kind of getting his head into it, understanding what the coverages are, because he looks like a different guy in training camp. And he is, you know, he's physical. He's a bigger player, and he's willing now to, because he's, I think he trusts more of what he's doing, to use every bit of his physicality when he's playing.
There is no question about it. He's a guy who I think has made one of the biggest leaps from mini camps and OTAs till now. And when you come from a small school like he did at Lindenwood, you know that there's a learning curve there. But he's doing great. And in the one-on-one drills today, one time he rode a guy with his press straight out of bounds, just took him, locked him up straight out of bounds, didn't allow a completion against him in the one-on-ones, was right there making plays. And he's a guy who's starting to have fun. He's starting to get vocal. The defense as a whole was getting vocal today, letting the offense know that it had its number and there was really nothing the offense was going to do about it.
No, and again, now, so we've told the defensive story. Now there's an offensive story to talk about. And I don't want to – it's dangerous to live in the moment of training camp. And if you came away from today and really just said, okay – How does this offense look? How does the quarterback situation look? Today would have been depressing because it wasn't much to say about anything. Almost every drill, the offense did not look good. At times looked downright bad. At times the quarterback position itself, both quarterbacks, Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel, struggling to get anything done. The picks that were happening, the force plays that we saw in one case with Johnny Manziel, a real horrible force because he was under duress, and he wouldn't have been able to force that because he'd have been on his back and crushed. And that's the other thing, the Olay blocks that have been going on with a lot of the backup linemen and some of the first stringers. Just have the protection hasn't been great, but I think it's a combination of things, and I think it creates a challenge. I talked to some of the coaches about this after today's practice. I said, is it more difficult to evaluate this quarterback thing when you have days like this? And the frank answer was yes, because they said you want the defense to kind of do its thing. That's a good thing. That's a plus. You want it to be as dominant as it was, but it's really hard to get a gauge on what your quarterback group is when your whole offense is kind of getting mauled in the process. So it stands to reason the quarterback isn't going to look good when every other phase of your offense is kind of getting beat up.
Yeah, yeah, but there are quarterbacks who can overcome that, and those are the ones who can raise the level of everything around them today.
That's the mark of great quarterback.
And we did not see that today. We did not see that from Brian Hoyer. We did not see that from Johnny Manziel. And, you know, it was a day of the defense, and the offense took a step back, and we talked about on the sideline watching practice, you know, trying not to live day to day with this thing because, you know, yesterday they were very good. Johnny Manziel and Brian Hoyer yesterday both, I thought, ultimately, when you went back and watched practice, had very good days. They completed the vast majority of their passes yesterday against this defense, both of them well north of 67%. So it was a very good day for them yesterday. Today was a day for the defense. And I think Mike Pettine challenged this team. And I know the coaches challenged the secondary. Pierre Desir told me in some clips that'll be up on ClevelandBrowns.com today. Again, we'll have inside training camp day four for you on ClevelandBrowns.com. We'll have great content from Notorious VIC, Kevin Jones as well. But Pierre Desir told me that the coaches challenged the secondary today or last night in the meeting rooms to come out and make plays. Said you're getting in good positions, but you're getting your hands on the ball, but you're not making the plays. And today they did three interceptions, and the quarterbacks really couldn't rally the teams around them. It was a tough day all around. And let me go back to something you also talked about with the second team O-line, being able to – some of the Olays that are happening. I don't understand, Notorious, how when you're a 300-pound man and there's another 300-pound man literally like 6 inches away from you, it is possible for that guy to go in a straight line to the quarterback without physical contact being made. How does that happen?
I'll explain how it's happening, and I know you know this. This scheme – right now is so far ahead of what the offense is able to do. Now, I did get this, and I think he said this also publicly, but talking with Coach Pettine about this as well, there were certain calls Kyle Shanahan was actually not allowed to make for the sake of the type of drills they were doing today, for the sake of allowing this defense to kind of see what it could do, especially at the line of scrimmage. So there was a little more creativity and motion and different things that Kyle Shanahan could have utilized to loosen some things up. But that's not an excuse. That was just part of the design of the drill. Relative to your point of free runners, that is the nature of this defense. If you notice the way DBs are incorporated in this, the way the linebackers are incorporated in this, the way linemen become linebackers, they go to this amoeba front where people that you think are outside linebackers suddenly have a hand down, then they drop into coverage. This has been, I think, an exercise in confusion for the offensive line. I don't think they're anywhere near ready to handle what has been given to them on a lot of these days, but particularly the backup guys. I think the starting lineup people, Joe Thomas on a regular basis, Alex Mack on a regular basis, Mitchell Schwartz generally are getting it right.
He's been playing well.
They've been practicing well. The rookies and the younger players, the people who are backups for a reason, they are lost on this. And they, if you notice in many instances, and you can see this on video when we watch this, these guys will be pulled in one direction and leaving the door wide open, and they're doubling on where they think they need to double inside and someone's coming from the outside, or they take a double to the outside and a guy comes to the inside. And there's a lot of stunts and games and various blitz combinations coming off that
creativity.
Have their heads swimming.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But here's the scare. It's twofold scary. It's scary to see how often the Browns offense lets these guys get in freely. But it's also scary in a good way that this defense is able to create this and possibly, hopefully, we'll see this in the regular season against
the
opponents.
Well, and the good news is if the offensive line can start kind of – I think this is a good learning experience because if you can start to be able to handle this – coming to Pittsburgh is going to seem easy. Going into games will seem a lot easier than it is right now. But again, day four dominated by the defense. We do have a big show for you here today. Coming up next today, we will have Don Banks from Sports Illustrated, covers the NFL from them. In the second hour, we will hear Mike Pettine's press conference and sound. We will hear from Joe Thomas, some of his sound in the first hour as well. That's coming up at 1:40. At 1:50, after further review, 2:20, Travis Benjamin, 2:30, Charlie Casserly from the NFL Network.
Whoa.
It is loaded up here, folks. Big day in Berea. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, CBD.